take your Bibles, turn to the book of John, chapter 15. John chapter 15, we'll read verse 13 together. John chapter 15, verse number 13. We'll read one verse, and then we'll turn to another passage, and I'll read some other verses as well. John chapter 15, let's all read in unison, verse 13. Ready? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 18, 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse number 1. While you're turning there, I'll read another passage, James chapter 4, verse number 4. James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 18, 1 Samuel chapter 18, in verse number 1, we will read aloud together in unison. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse number 1. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And you will not have to turn to this passage. I'll read one other verse. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 24, the Bible says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. Lord, what a great place to be. God, I often wish that the entire world could fit inside this room just one time and experience what we get to experience so often here. Your presence, the preaching of the Bible, the changing of lives. God, please fill our preacher with your power as he preaches. May the Holy Spirit have freedom to do in every heart what needs done today. Change our hearts, change our lives because of it, please. In Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated. I would like to save someone's life this morning, if you'll allow that to be the case. I was speaking to one of our good men, one of our adult Sunday school teachers this week. He mentioned a situation to me, and I would like to save someone's life if they don't seem to think that this sermon is for someone else. If they don't seem to think that that's got to be for somebody other than me, because that would be my fear. That they would say, well, that's a truth for someone else. In John chapter 15, verse 13, I'll read to you again the passage that you read earlier. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The title of my sermon this morning is very simply, Friendship Instructions. My message this morning is on love. It's a message all about love. You know, the Bible says here, there's no greater love than this. Then God begins to talk about friendship. Have you ever thought about it? The Bible says there is no greater love than the love in friendship. Now, I would have thought that would have been one of the lesser relationships in life. But here it says there is no greater love than that love that comes in regard to friendship. It says greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now you think naturally that means you die for your friend. That is not what that means. It means you die to yourself in an effort to properly be a friend. It is a selflessness that is the true fiber of this greatest love called friendship. Friendship is one of the greatest expressions of love in the entire Bible. Friendship is like the nail that holds two separate boards together. And that friendship holds two people together. Friendship is like the staple that holds two pieces of paper together. Friendship is like the glue that would hold two pieces of plastic together. Friendship is like the mortar that holds two bricks together. Friendship is what holds all other relationships together. And it is this love, no greater love
the Bible says, than that of a friend. By the way, may I say to you, that is why many relationships fall apart. Because there is a lack of love, a lack of friendship love in that relationship. I want to read a verse to you. You read it earlier. 1 Samuel 18:1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." Jonathan and David became so close that their souls were knit together. Well, later on you'll hear a verse from Deuteronomy 13, verse 6, and it talked about the souls of two people being knit together as friends. You see, friendship is the knitting of two people together. It is that mortar that causes two people to become close. They're stapled together, if you will. They're mortared together. They're glued together. They're nailed together. But the Bible says they are knit together. Now, I'm about to do something this morning I've never done before. I have here some ultra mega knitting needles. And these aren't just knitting needles. You go down to Hung Chow's and these are lifelong guaranteed chopsticks too. But we have a couple knitting needles and here, can you see that all right? There's some, is this called yarn? Is it knitting yarn? Is it thread? Somebody help me. Yarn? Okay. This is knitting yarn. Now, I have also here, I have a sweater and it's in two parts though, you see. And there's two parts to this thing, and each part pictures a human being. And the Bible says that friendship, that's the yarn, is what connects two people properly. Let's see. Now, I realize that you usually knit using two of these little Dumaflatches. There's no way in the world. And so I just tied the little yarn to the end, all right? And so I know there's a better way of doing this and a proper way, but this is the only way your preacher's ever going to knit. And so what I'm trying to do is I want to knit, connect. I want to, if it were wood, nail. If it were paper, staple. I want to take these two pieces. I want to put them together. So I take my knitting needle and I'm going to go around, and just like I would if I were fishing, I'm going to put it around a couple of times to make sure that works. And so then I'm going to go down a little further, and am I knitting? Yes, I am. Wait till this gets out across the country. Okay, I need to find another little place where I can knit. Okay, here we go. And then I'm trying to connect these two together if I can. And I'm knitting. And the Bible says the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. I actually looked that word knit up in the Hebrew language. And you know what it means? Knit. It means they were bound together. They were attached. These two godly men became very, very close. And I am knitting, just like the Bible says, that's what friendship is. Friendship is the knitting of two people together. And so I'm knitting. And the Bible says there's no greater love. This is the greatest love. There's no greater love than a man lay down his life for his friend. I'm amazed a little bit that friendship is considered the greatest love. Jesus, by the way, is your friend. And now I've not done a good job on it, but I've knit the sweater back together. Ladies, come on, I'm doing a good job here. That's, the Bible talks about the knitting of two people together. You know, one of the greatest relationships in life is that of friendship. One of the greatest misunderstood relationships in life is that of friendship. One of the most positive spiritual encouragers in your life would be a biblical friend. But one of the most negative spiritual destroyers in your life would be an unbiblical friendship or a backslidden friend. When I say unbiblical, it means a lost person, or a saved person that used to be decent that's not anymore. They'll discourage your friendship. The Bible even says that the world's friendship is not biblical. So you have to understand something. The Bible tells us what friendship is. Friendship started with God. Then the world always takes what God does and corrupts it. Now, if you're not practicing friendships according to the Bible, you do not have biblical friendships, so those aren't real friendships. Listen to this verse. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity? That's the opposite with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Some of you are practicing friendships that are virtually enemies to biblical principle. You're not doing it God's way. There's a popular television show. It's called Friends. How many of you have heard of it? And the rest of you have, but you won't raise your hand. That's not biblical. I asked some people about it. They told me there are people that were living together unmarried. It was promoted as friends. People who don't go to church, but they say friends. God is only mentioned when they're cursing, and they call it friends. It's a sexual mess. A lot of innuendo, immorality. That's not friendship. No obedience to God. That's not friendship. And the tragedy is that they have taken the word friend or friends, which is a biblical term, and corrupted it, put it out as in Hollywood, and there are people thinking, that's what friends are. I'm sorry. That is as unscriptural as it could be. Now you got to remember something, folks. God creates something pure and decent and then says, here, abide by my guidelines. We take it, we corrupt it, and we make it mean something totally different than what God intended it to mean. Now listen, a biblical friendship is a gift from God. It's a very deep spiritual relationship. It has to be because the Bible says there's no greater love than this. Than what? That a man lay down his life for his friends, and it's not talking about you dying for your friend. It's talking about you living right for your friend. You died to self and let Jesus Christ live through you, so you have died to yourself to become a true biblical friend to someone else. It's a relationship that has Bible guidelines, just like all other relationships. The Bible has guidelines for husband and wife. The Bible has guidelines for parents and children. The Bible has guidelines for leaders and followers and pastors and people and man and God. Like always, Satan comes along and tries to steal and corrupt the good things of God. Friendship was created by God. And it has guidelines, qualifications, and expectations. And if you want to have a true blue friendship, it's got to be done by God's guidelines, God's expectations, God's principles in God's book. If your friendships are not chosen and maintained by God's book, they will not be true biblical friendships. When the word friend is used in the Bible, it's not always referring to a deep spiritual relationship, by the way. For instance, the Bible uses the term the friend or friendship of the king. Genesis 26:26 is where it's used. That's only talking about a high court official. It did not mean that there were two people that were bosom biblical buddies. What it really meant was that this person was a part of a group of people that worked together. So it didn't necessarily mean that these people were best of friends. The word friend was used in the Bible as a general salutation or greeting. Matthew 22:12 it says, and he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? Now what it was, it'd be like you and I using the term buddy or pal. You ever met somebody you don't even know and you say, how's it going, pal? Now, that's what sometimes in the Bible the word friend means. It's a general salutation like, how's it going, buddy? And you don't even know them. It's not a deep, abiding, biblical relationship. The word friend is used in a couple of different ways. Now, the kind of friend I'm talking this morning about is not pal. It's not buddy. It's not a brief acquaintance. So what I'm talking about is a deep, biblical, Bible-based relationship, which is what God intended for all of your friendships, one of the things that will destroy you faster than anything else is not having biblical friendships. The Bible's packed full of scripture to help us have proper friendships. Now, I'm going to apologize. I'm not going to run. I'm not going to yell. I'm not going to scream. I'm going to teach you the Bible. Now, you remember something. If I teach you the Bible, if you've been here the last 4 weeks, either on Sunday morning or Sunday night, I taught you, the Bible says, a wise person is someone that lives according to the Bible. They accept what the Bible says, and they live it. And then the opposite of that is a foolish person. They reject what the Bible says. Now, if I teach you the Bible this morning, and you reject it, you've put yourself in the position of being a fool. I didn't say that. I'm telling you what God said. You are to obey the scripture. And every relationship that is worth your having in life is to be based on the word of God. Every single relationship. And if you'll listen to me carefully, I want to teach you about friendship this morning. I want to give you some friendship instructions. Number one, you are to be a friend. You are to be a friend. Proverbs 18:24 says this, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Nowhere in the Bible does it teach you to get friends. The Bible does not teach go get friends. The Bible teaches be a friend. You're to be a friend, and you're to be a friend to the right kind of people. To get friends is stingy. Somebody came to me and they said, Brother Owens, I am miserable. They're sitting in this auditorium this morning. They said to me, I am miserable. I'm trying to get friends and I can't seem to get any. I said, that's your problem. You're not supposed to be trying to get friends. It's unscriptural. You're supposed to be a friend. The Bible says a man that hath friends, doesn't say you went after them. It says you have some. You didn't go after them. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. The key to getting friends is becoming a friend, but you're not out to get them. You're out to be one. That's the whole concept of the Christian life. It's what can you do for somebody else? You said, I'm seeking for happiness. There's your problem. Why don't you go make somebody else happy? Why don't you make God happy? Make your wife happy. Make your husband happy. Make other people happy. You're not going to find happiness by trying to get it for yourself. That's stingy. Look to do what makes people happy. And what makes people happy is making somebody else happy. You say, I'm looking for friends. Become a biblical, true blue friend to somebody. That's what it's really all about. You see, it's not a matter of you getting one, it's a matter of you being one. Don't do things for people hoping to get them as friends. That has an ulterior motive to it. No, you just be the right kind of person and be their friend. There's an insincerity in, Brother Mike, I'm going to do something for you hoping you'll do something for me. Now, don't you see the shallowness in that? How about, Brother Mike, I'm going to do something for you whether you ever do anything for me or not, because that's the way Jesus does it. That is what friendship is really all about. Friendship's purpose is not to have your needs met. Friendship's purpose is so that you meet the need of another. A true biblical friend is a gift from God to you. You can't go out seeking friends. You go out and become a true blue biblical friend, and then God will have someone obey the same scripture you're obeying, and then God will give you a true blue biblical friend. A friend is a gift from God. This thing of, let's exchange friendship. I'm sorry, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches, I am to figure out what a friend is, and I'm to become one. And that is my gift to you. And then if God chooses that somebody become my friend, that is their choice and God's choice, but I can't make you my friend and you can't make me your friend. You don't understand. Friendship does not have to be reciprocated. Friendship is all about other people, not about you. Happy is the man that has a friend. Happier is the man who is a friend. Happiest is the man who has a friend and is a friend. But you can't make someone your friend. You just can't do it. That's up to them and God. I mean, if you're trying to make me your friend, don't you see? There's an emptiness there. There's a void. No, make me your friend. Your job is to be a friend. You're unhappy because you're trying to get instead of be. You are unhappy because you're trying to get something rather than be something. Friendship is given, not exchanged. You can't buy biblical friendship. So, point number one, you are to be a friend. Listen, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. What does it mean? I became a biblical friend to someone. Now, how did I get the hath friends? God provided friends for me while I was busy providing my friendship to others. I may be a friend to someone that is not a friend back to me, and somebody else might be a friend to me. Number two, there are friendship qualifications. It's not a free-for-all. We're not just go out and do anything we want. Anytime God creates anything, He gives us instructions how to maintain it. There are some friendship qualifications. They're very simple. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Your friends are supposed to be saved. Your friends are to be born again. And if they're not born again, it's an unbiblical friendship. It's not even what God's talking about. Let me give you another deep truth. Did you know you can pick your friends and you can pick your nose, but you cannot wipe your friends under the couch? You say, Brother Owens, why all the booger jokes? Well, people are just eating them up anymore. There are qualifications. I was a youth director for a long time. You're just going to have to deal with it, all right? There are qualifications for friendship. First of all, your friend is to be born again if it's a biblical relationship. If not, it's unbiblical. Matter of fact, it is enmity with God. It's the exact opposite of what God wanted. They should not be worldly. The Bible says this, James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Your friends should not be worldly. And when it talks about adulterers and adulteresses, it's not just talking about a physical relationship there. It's talking about someone who has taken the thing called friendship and they have not given it to the real groom, God. You have committed spiritual fornication by taking your friendship and giving it to the world. It was to be given to God and God's people. It's like committing adultery against your true lover. Who's my true lover? Jesus, the lover of my soul. They should not be worldly. They should not be attached to this world. So, they're to be born again, 2 Corinthians 6:14. They should not be worldly, living in this world and living a worldly lifestyle, James 4:4. Number three, what's another qualification according to the Bible for friendship? They should be obeying Jesus and His Word. John 15:14, Jesus said, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. That means this. If someone is not obeying the Word of God, you're not supposed to be having a friendship with them. That means somebody could be saved and be living like an animal, and you should distance yourself from them. Why? That's what God said. God said, don't you call me your friend when you don't do what I say. Obedience to Him qualifies someone for biblical friendship. So if you're looking to be a friend of someone, you find someone that's obeying the Word of God. That's true blue friendship. Teenagers will come to me and say, oh, what do I do? I've got this friend. And they think that I'm going to say, hey, I'll tell you what you do. You've got this lost friend that's living in the world. Hey, you just run around with them and spend time with them. That's unbiblical. You build a friendship that you were never supposed to build in the first place, and you ought to do away with it.
Right.
You say, that goes against my grain. Then you go against the Bible.
Right. Yes, sir.
Right. You see, the Bible's very clear. Friendship qualification, 2 Corinthians 6:14. They should be saved. They should not be worldly, James 4:4. They should be obeying the Word of God. That means if something is preached and it came from the Bible and they won't obey it, you better be careful making a friendship with them. They're truth rejectors. They won't make you a good friend. Number four, they should not be out of control. Proverbs 22, verse 24 through 25 says, make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to your soul. Say, why shouldn't I build a friendship with somebody that's unbiblical, worldly, or lost? God said right here, because you'll learn their ways. You're not supposed to learn their ways. But it also says here, make no friendship with an angry man. What's it talking about? Somebody that's out of control. First of all, girls, you should not become a best friend or a girlfriend to a boy that can't control his temper. You say, why? He'll beat you someday. There are women in here that can stand and testify. Say, would to God, I would have never married the man I married. He's so mean and rude. He beats me. And you should have seen it. It's unscriptural. You better marry a man that's a man that could protect you, but he won't hurt you with his strength. He'll protect you with his strength. And I'm not for sissy men. Man ought to know how to fight so he can protect his family. But a man should never raise his hand to his wife. And if you do, you're a wimp. You just flat out wimp. You say, I don't like that. If you'd like, you can meet me and Aaron Chris at buying the church after church for this. Aaron will be the little guy. Hey, listen. Make no friendship with an angry man. And with the furious man, thou shalt not go. Those of you that are running with friends that are in trouble for fighting, they can't get along with their parents, they can't get along with a preacher, they can't get along with anybody, you're wrong.
Yes, sir.
You're wrong. Those aren't friends.
Right.
Not according to the Bible. You say, well, according to the world, I don't care what the world says. Folks, we're not to be of this world. We're of a different. Our citizenship is someplace else. We've got a Bible that tells us how to live, and we're supposed to live according to the Bible. And so, watch out now. You watch out for these people that can't control themselves. And when it's talking about the temper here, it's talking about somebody that's out of control. You watch out for people who just can't control themselves in general. They don't. That's not a good biblical friendship. And so, what are the qualifications of this thing called friendship? They should be saved. They should not be worldly. They should be obeying God and God's word. They should not be out of control. Finally, a couple more. They should not be disloyal to God's man. I'm not saying this for my sake. I promise you. I don't know of anybody in this whole system that's disloyal to me. But let me warn you. The Bible teaches if you become a friend of somebody that mocks, gossips, or criticizes God's man, you're in trouble. You should not have that friendship. Let me prove it to you. You know, did you know that it's my job to preach the whole counsel of God? The whole counsel. Listen to this. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 1 through 4. It's going to be four verses, more verses than most of you are used to reading all at one time. So don't get bored and go to sleep while I'm reading the Word of God to you. Listen carefully. Now Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah, the prophet. Now understand, here is a person, he's a chief governor. And he has now smote Jeremiah, the man of God, and put him in stocks, that means in prison, that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks, and said Jeremiah unto him, the Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, but Megar-Mizbah. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it, and I will give all Judah unto the hand of the king of Babylon. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that this man was disloyal to the man of God, and God passed judgment on that man and said, you are going to be a terror to yourself and to all your so-called friends. Hey, are you unified with somebody that is a terror to you, will destroy you, and destroy your friendships? Let me tell you something. I had a pastor all of my life up until 2 years and 2 months ago. I never spent my time in that 40 years of my life with people that were disloyal to the man of God that was above me. I'm not trying to protect me. I'm trying to protect you. The Bible says that people that are disloyal to the man of God, and if they have built friendships, they are a terror to themselves, and they are a terror to their friends. And it says, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to thy friends, and they shall all fall by the sword of their enemies. That's pretty potent.
Right.
What are some of the qualifications of true blue friendship? Your friend ought to be saved. Your friend should not be worldly. Your friend should be obeying Jesus Christ in His Word. Your friend should not be someone that's out of control. Your friend should not be disloyal to the man of God. You should be friends with someone before you marry them. I could have renamed this. I could have said, let me teach all of you how to pick a mate. Because you are to be a friend before you become married, or you're to be a friend before you become a lover. Remember, friendship, it is the mortar. It is the glue that sticks two people together. And would to God, a whole bunch of people would have become biblical friends before they became married. That's why marriages dissolve. They never use the mortar of the greatest love known to man, which is the love when a man lays down his life for his friend. The reason some of you married people don't get along is you don't lay down your life. You're interested in what are you going to do for me, when you're to be interested in what can you do for them. And it's not lay down your life, die. It is lay down your will and lay down your selfishness and lay down your stinginess, and you become what God wants you to become for their sake, not your sake. That's what the Bible says about friends. And so by now, surely you can see the television and Hollywood and the television show Friends is really about as unscriptural as the show you can find. It's promoting something that's not even true. I said to you, number one, you are to be a friend. I said, number two, there are friendship qualifications. Well, I'll tell you what, this is good. I hope you're all listening. And it's scriptural, too. Have you noticed? It's in the Bible. Yes, that's the book for me. Yeah, it's here. Some of you are sorting through your life, and you're saying, no wonder I've had such a mess. Right. Anytime we do things contrary to the Bible, we are setting ourselves up for destruction. Number three. You're to be a friend to God. You're to be a friend to God. James 2:23 says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Oh, I'll tell you. I would like for someone to say, you know something? Brother Owens is God's friend. Brother Owens is God's friend. Hey, would anyone call you God's friend? Hey, are you in this just to see what you can get out of him? There's a thing called jailhouse religion. I worry about it. Somebody gets in jail, and suddenly they get all fired up about serving God. And I've found many times that until they go to their hearing, or until they go to their court case, until they get their sentencing, they get real, real close to God. Why? They're saying, God, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, or I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine. God, I'm going to be your friend if you get me out of this. What would be wrong if somebody said, God, I'm going to be your friend, period. Though he slay me, yet will I serve him, said Job. There are a bunch of you, you're playing religion with God. And you're saying, God, I'll come to church if you do this for me, and this for me, and this for me, and this for me. How about you decide, God, I'll obey you. I'll be your friend no matter what happens to me. That proves true blue friendship to God. Because you're not out to get a friend, you're out to be a friend, and to want a friend is stingy. Hey, and if you pick your own friends, you'd pick the wrong ones anyhow. How about let God send your friends by? God knows what you need. Abraham was God's friend. Why? The Bible says he obeyed God. You remember earlier I told you sometimes the word friend in the Bible meant casual acquaintance, like we call somebody buddy or pal. I had somebody tell me. A person said to me in recent months, well, I would never let my friend the Lord down. They don't come to church half the time. They're one of the biggest gossips in the church. What you mean is your pal, buddy. Your acquaintance. That's the way you use the word friend. So many people say, oh, yeah, I'm a friend to God. You are? The Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he wasn't talking about 1 out of 10. You can't reject what he truly is and then turn around and say you're his friend. If there's something in your life that you know should be changed, it's been taught from the Bible and you won't change it, in that area you are not his friend. You know, I'd like to be a true blue friend of God. You know what I'd like? I'd like for God to be able to say, you know, Jeff, you're one of my best friends. Are you God's best friend? Do you do what you do for him instead of for you? Well, Brother Owens, I'm changing my life. I'm glad you are. Why? What's best for me? Well, yes, it is. I got a better idea. Why don't you do what's best for God? I'll tell you why a bunch of you ought to bring some trash and burn it tonight, because it's best for God. You're his friend. John 15:14, he said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Exodus 33:11, the Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. God and Moses were friends. But Moses said, God, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do, whether I get anything in return or not. You say, Brother Owen, I'll tithe as long as I see. I started, but I quit because I didn't think God was blessing. You're to do what God tells you to do if you're his friend, no matter what you get out of it. The Bible says that God spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. He turned again into the camp. The servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Do you know how God speaks to you through his word? The Bible says that God spake to Moses. Now, you're not going to hear the voice of God unless you have anchovies on your pizza on Saturday night, wake up Sunday morning with both bad gas, and you feel like you got a revelation from God. How's God going to speak to you? Through his word.
Yes, sir.
Friendship ought to be based on his word. Is your friend a Bible believer, Bible reader? We've got lots of young people here. Young people, don't marry somebody that won't read the Bible. How can God speak to them? Friends speak to friends based on the word of God. I could save your life this morning if you'd listen to this truth. Number four, being friendly and being a friend are two different things. Being friendly and being a friend are two different things. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. You know something, folks? We're to be kind to everybody. We're to be friendly, kind to everyone. But we are not to have a deep biblical relationship called friendship with everyone. God's already given us some guidelines. So, you know, if you want to misinterpret or misconstrue what I've said today, you say, well, you saying you shouldn't be friends to everyone? Yes, I am. I am not saying that we should not be friendly to everyone, because we're to be kind and gentle and friendly to everyone. We're not to build deep spiritual relationships with everyone. I want to have the friendliest church in America. But we're not going to be the friend of the world. And you within the church should be picking the right kind of people to commit your friendship to. We had a lady that come visit our church about 18 months ago. I went out to visit her and I said, ma'am, what do you think of our church? And she said, well, I'm not coming back. I said, oh, what in the world? What happened, ma'am? Maybe I could help you. She said, way too friendly. Way too friendly. I'm not coming back. I said, ma'am, we're not going to be changing that anytime soon. You go in the average church, it's like ice skating. It's so cold and dead and dry, and everybody's got ice cubes hanging from their ears as earrings. The preaching is cold. The people are cold. The music is cold. I'm not talking about rock and roll or contemporary. I'm just talking about it doesn't have the fire of the old-time way in it. It's cold and icy everywhere you go. We're not going to change the friendliness, but being friendly does not constitute the fact that you ought to be a deep friend, biblically, to everyone. Number five, the way to be a friend to the lost is to give them the gospel. The way to be a friend to the lost is to give them the gospel. Matthew 11:19, it says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous, a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Do you know what this is saying? There are some people that criticize Jesus because he was taking the time to give the gospel to the lost. And they said, look, he's hanging around with the drunks. Let me tell you, you just check the Bible. He didn't hang around with the drunks. He went and witnessed to them. And then they went out and prayed again. The Bible says in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Doesn't say the Son of Man came to seek and hang around with the lost. He went out, he told them about Christ, he tried to get them into church, but he did not spend his casual time with them. He was not building this deep, abiding, let's hang around, let's go out to eat, let's spend our time together relationship. You check who he was with all the time. He was with born again, saved, separated, decent people. Then they would go out and find somebody that was lost on their way to hell and give the gospel to them because Jesus was a friend of sinners. And so, number one, you're to be a friend. Number two, there are qualifications for friendship. They're to be saved, not worldly. They should be obeying Jesus and His Word. They should not be out of control. They should not be disloyal to the man of God. You should make sure that this friend is a deep, abiding, biblical friendship before you ever get married. You're to be a friend to God. And being friendly and being a deep relationship friend are two different things. The way to be a friend to the lost is to give them the gospel. Number six, there are benefits to a biblical relationship called friendship. God tells us about them. I think we could do a Bible study for about 30, 40 weeks in a row, all on friendship in the Bible. I looked at every verse on friends, friendship, every time it was alluded to, even in the slightest. We could go forever, folks. The Bible teaches very clearly what friendship is supposed to be. The benefit of being a biblical friend. Let me give you this one. Proverbs 27:17. It says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Here the Bible says a true biblical friend will, they'll be positive people. They sharpen the countenance. They improve the countenance. You'll leave a real friend with a real spiritual joy in your heart. A real spiritual friend will make you a better person. They'll help your attitude to be better. They won't agree with your negative. They'll help you to get a right attitude about right things. They won't laugh at sin with you. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. What do you have to laugh at work all the time? Filthy jokes about the opposite sex's body? Or do you and your friend get together about the positive things of God, and that's what you laugh about? Hey, we can tell some corny joke here in church, and you sit there like, man, you're lame. No, you spend your time with unbiblical friends, and what you laugh about is not pure, and we can laugh about some of the dumbest things around here because it's wholesome, it's clean, and we don't have to worry about what we laughed about when we leave. The benefits of biblical friendship, they're going to be positive spiritually. Job 42 verse 10 says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. True spiritual friends will pray for you. They'll pray for you. They'll help turn your life around by prayer. So true friendship has benefits. The benefit, they're going to make your attitude positive. If you spend time with people, and you know what? I'll tell you something. Negative people will always find negative people and spend time with them. They'll find each other. They're going to find each other. That's the way the devil wants. You say, I found somebody that disagrees with what I disagree with about the church. Well, la-di-da. How hard did you have to look to find them? And you think, well, that proves it. You're an idiot, Brother Owens. The two of us agree. We were on the phone talking about it. You and your negative friend got together and you figured out what's wrong with the church. That's brilliant. Sometimes silence speaks. Spiritual friends will pray for you. Spiritual friends will sharpen your spiritual countenance. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:9, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so that the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. True friends will give you biblical counsel. Biblical counsel. They won't tell you to go against the Bible. They won't tell you to go against the preaching. They won't tell you to go against the truths of the Bible. No, not true friends. Which means if you've got friends that are telling you to go against the Bible, it's not real friendship. It's enmity. It's the opposite of what God calls friendship. They will give you proper counsel, biblical counsel. And if they can't tell you exactly what the Bible says, they'll send you to someone who can.
Yes, sir.
John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. They will help you to become Jesus' friend. Hey, are you closer to Jesus because of that person that you talk to on the phone all the time? Are they encouraging you to become more like the Master, or do you even talk about Him? The only time you talk about the preaching is to criticize. They will help you to become like Jesus by obeying the Scripture. Your friends need to see you obey God, not just talk about Him. Hey, let me give you some signs of backslidden friendships, or signs of backslidden friends. First, gossip and criticism. Listen, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. What's he talking about? Gossip. You two thought that you were sharing the gossip, and because of that, you're getting closer as friends. The Bible says you're destroying each other. Exact opposite. That's how God says. God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Listen to it. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Best friends self-destruct because they gossip. Every husband and wife, listen to me right now. Stop gossiping to your mate. If you loved her, you would not take every little juicy morsel of gossip and share it.
Well, we're spiritual enough to gossip between ourselves and it not hurt our relationship.
You must be more spiritual than the Bible then. Are you not chief friends? The most important person in this world to be a best friend to is your mate. Chief friends should not gossip to each other. You're destroying your marriage. It's what the Bible says. It's not Owensology. It's what the Bible says. That means somebody needs to say, honey, I think we should change the conversation. Honey, it's not best that we talk about that. Why? I love you too much. There's a great lack of love in a marital relationship where there is gossip. If gossip is your common denominator, that's sin. It is sin that helps the two of you get closer. Come on, think through it. Signs of a non... It's quiet again. Signs of a non-biblical friendship, gossip and criticism. Added depression. Proverbs 27:17 says, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. A real friend will sharpen the countenance of his friend. Which means the opposite is, a bad friend will dull the countenance of their friend. Bad friends will dull your spirit. Watch out. Somebody will come along and a bad friend, hey, teenagers that just came back from youth conference, watch out. Somebody's going to try to throw water on your fire. Hey, men, some of you men, you came back and you were all fired up for God and you came back from the shooting competition up in Pennsylvania. You're ready to go. Somebody's already come along and said, yeah, sure, I'm sure you mean this new spiritual energy that you have. Don't let them throw water on your fire. Hey, parents, do yourself a favor. If your kids came home from youth conference and said, I'm going to serve God, I'm going to do my best, and you say, yeah, just like the last time, what are you doing? You're supposed to be their spiritual friend. You should say, all right, young man. All right, young lady. Let's try again. Bad friends will agree with your bad attitude. And you can find them. You can snoop them out like an old hound dog. Where are they? I can tell by looking at her. Look at her face right now. I got to get to her after the service. She's mad just like me. You walk over like a dog. You smell under their arm and say, yeah, you're like me. You smell around trying to find somebody that'll disagree and you have a negative attitude because of it. Friendships will destroy you if you're not careful. Friendships are not true friendships if they're sharing sinful captivity. Listen to this. Job said this about some of his so-called friends. Job 6:27, yea, you overwhelm the fatherless and you dig a pit for your friend. Hey, you dig a pit for your friend. Joseph's brothers in the Old Testament, they put him in a pit. See, the pit is a picture of a captivity. The pit pictures captivity. Hey, are you practicing captivity with your friends? Booze? Bad music? Drugs? Cigarettes?
No.
You know, some of your friendships are the pits. You're caught in a pit, a captivity with wrong friends. Listen to what else is said here. In Job 6:15, the very same passage of Scripture where Job says there was a pit. My friends tried to put me in a pit captivity. It says in Job 6:15, my brethren have dealt deceitfully as a brook. What's deceitfulness? Lie. Bad friendships is when you start lying for each other. When you and your friends start lying for each other and covering up for each other, whether it's an adult at work, a young person in the Christian school, or even lying about the truth of the Word of God, that's not true friendship. Somebody's backslidden. Somebody's in trouble. You've dug a pit for your friend. Job 6:18, same passage. The paths of their way are turned aside. They go to nothing and perish. They've turned off the straight path. Hey, bad friendships, there'll be the enticement to do wrong. Deuteronomy 13:6, it says, if thy brother, the son of thy mother, and thy son of thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend which is in thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known thou, nor thy fathers. You know what it's saying? You do it in private, don't you? You sneak secretly. You say, let's do other things. Let's go against God. You young people, you parents, you be careful. Let your kids stay overnight with everybody all the time. When kids stay up half the night and they secretly plan things behind mom and dad's back. Hey, if you can't get up here and say it in church in front of everybody, I'd recommend you just shut your trap. I'm sorry. Brethren, lock thy lips. Lock thy lips. Lock thy lips for the Lord. Hey, let's get away from this church. You know what? You don't want to get away from this church. What you want to get away from is the truth of the Word of God. Pungent, isn't it? You say, Brother Lawrence, I wish you were telling funny stories right now. Bad friendships, signs of them, gossip, depression, sinful captivity, enticement to do wrong, and then immorality. 2 Samuel 13:3, it says, but Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. Jonadab, this so-called friend, encouraged Amnon to have sex with his sister named Tamar. You listen to me and listen to me well. Unmarried people are not friends when they sleep together out of wedlock. That is not friendship. Adultery is not friendship. It's a lie. You ought to have friendship with your family. Husbands and wives, that should be the strongest friendship in the world. Husband and wife ought to be stronger friends than the child is to their parent after they left home. I'm not eliminating the friendship that ought to be there. I'm just saying you better be closest to your husband or to your wife. Esther chapter 6, verse 13, it says, and Haman told Zethrus, his wife and all his friends, everything that had befallen him. Here, this man, he pulls his wife in and says, she is one of my friends. Too many people become lovers and they're not friends, and they get married and they realize they left something behind. Tell you what some of your relationships need. You need to become a friend of your husband. You need to be a friend of your wife. That's why some of you ladies feel used physically. There's supposed to be a friendship there. It's not what can I get out of her. It's what can I do for her. The little boy said, my mother was getting after me for misbehaving. And I said, I'll be good for a nickel, Mama. And she said, why don't you be like your father and be good for nothing? Let me tell every parent here what you need in your child rearing. Are you a friend to your son? I'm not asking you if you're a provider. Are you a friend to your son? Do you gossip to them? Do you live right? Do you encourage them to do right? We're talking about biblical friendship. Every boy needs his daddy to be his best friend. Every little girl needs daddy to be her best friend. Every little boy needs mama to be his best friend. Every little girl needs mama to be best friend. And if you're not living for God, you're not the kind of friend you ought to be to your little boy or your little girl. And it's not all about you. It's all about them. Those are God's children. And as you set a bad example in your bad friendships in the world, you're teaching your children things that will destroy them. Your sons, your daughters, it's time for some of you to become friends with your stepchildren. I'm so tired of hearing of people that won't treat stepmom and stepdad right. They won't treat their stepchildren right. You treat them like you would treat your own children. In-laws. Let's go to the next point. You boys and girls in this room, you become friends with your brothers and sisters, to your grandparents, true biblical friends. May I conclude by saying Jesus is a friend to the lost sinner. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He did it both ways. He died for you. He also put aside all that was best for him and gave it all to you. And he didn't do it to see what he could get out of you, because you ain't got nothing that he ain't already got. He did it because he loved you. True friendship was that Jesus Christ, he died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you. What do you want out of me, God? Just come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Jesus loves you today. If you're not born again, you ought to get saved. You ought to get saved. Friendship. What is it? It's like the mortar, the glue. It's the staple. The soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. This is the friendship, this orange thread. Two relationships knit together. But there's a right way to do it, and the right way to do everything is the Bible way. It's the right way to do everything. There are people here today, you need to be friendly to some people, but not best friends. Some of you, you need to watch who you marry. Watch who you marry. If it's not done according to the Bible, you'll hit the divorce course just like everybody else that doesn't do it right. You say, Brother Owens, wouldn't you want me to warn them so they didn't have to go through all the tragedy and heartache? You're just going to be mad at me. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. The greatest love, friendship. You got to be friends before you become lovers. You got to be friends to your children, to your parents, and to your God. Quit being a casual acquaintance. Hey, God, pal, how you doing, bud? Don't talk to him the rest of the week. Don't live for him the rest of the week. Don't obey him. Hey, bud. I think that kind of relationship. You walk around and tell everybody, oh, I love my Savior. Don't live for him. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.